Welcome. We will get started. We were waiting to have enough board members to get going so that we could begin. So we're going to go ahead and do a roll call vote. Sarah Rill is excused. So Randy Booth.
I'm here.
Christina Bogus.
Yes, ma'am.
Natalie Klein.
Yes.
Cindy Davis. Jenny Earle, I'm here. And Emily Green. Vice Chair Hart. Joseph Carey. Leanne Wood. Sorry, I guess I could be saying board member, right? Board member Hymas. Board member Lear. Chair Moss.
Here.
Board member Norton.
Here.
Board member Strait.
Yes.
Okay. And that, what does that give us number wise? Are we at 9? That gives us 9. As we have people join, we'll kind of let the public know. 10. Okay. Thank you. We are going to go ahead and get started today. We're going to turn the time over. Oh, I have to read this. As authorized by Utah Code 52.4, this meeting is being held electronically with an anchor location at the State Board of Education offices. The public may also attend electronically. We're going to go ahead and turn the time over to Superintendent Coleman. And do you want to click his? Oh, no, it's already on.
Thank you. We will start with a contract for you to approve for Brackenwood Consulting. This is a software package that they're already the provider for this particular use in USIMAC to produce Braille and large print materials there. And this contract includes customization as we go on every year. Frankly, we have several items that we need them to improve or add on to their software package to do that. And so that's a layperson's explanation. Mr. Empey, did I leave anything out that's important there?
Well, I think Board Member Wood had a good question. Why don't us just discuss why this is a sole source. We did a competitive RFP, request for proposal procurement, back in 2019 for this service. Brackenwood was one of three vendors that submitted a proposal. As the committee reviewed it, they had the best proposal, so the award was extended to them, and they've been under contract. It's now time to renew the contract, and this is a sole source because they had to actually write the code to do all the programming and the automation that USIMAC needed. And so that's the reason why this is a sole source contract. So if there's any questions, we'd be happy to answer them.
Let's take a look. Do you have any hands online? Board Member Wood, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have a question. I just wanted to make a comment. I had the opportunity with Superintendent Patton to tour the USIMAC facilities. And I have to say, every book or resource that is provided to our students who are blind or visually impaired is a labor of love. It is amazing. So if you haven't been up there, go and see.
Anyone online? I would echo that same thing. I've gone and done the tour and broke down how they go about doing books and everything. So it's a pretty incredible process. So, okay, I'm looking for a motion then. Board Member Wood.
Trying to find the language. Maybe it's on there.
No.
Okay.
No, not yet.
All right. I moved that the board approve the Brackenwood Consulting LLC contract.
Okay, the motion before the board. Oh, do I have a second? Excuse me. The motion before the board is, yes. Okay, any comments to that? Did you want to? I think we already did, but okay. The motion before the board is that is requested that the board review and approve the Brackenwood Consulting LLC contract. Okay, we will go ahead and take a vote on that. Board Member Booth.
Yes.
All right. Board Member Bogus? I don't know if we can do, we can't do, we're going to have to do a roll call because we have so many online. Wow, Moss motion to adjourn. What happened here? You asked for me to be in charge and that quick, we're gone.
Oh, wait, I have a motion.
Okay, wow, interesting. Okay, we'll start again here. So, Board Member Booth.
Yes.
Yes. Bogus?
Yes.
Board Member Klein?
Yes.
Board Member Davis? She did?
Yes.
Okay. Board Member Davis, do you know where we're at on the agenda? And I'm happy to fill you in.
I'm reading it on the screen.
Okay. Do you want, I'll come back to you. Vice Chair Earl is a yes. Board Member Green, don't think we have her, right? Okay. Vice Chair Hart? Board Member Carey? Board Member Wood? Board Member Hymas?
Yes.
Board Member Lair?
Yes.
Board Member, or Chair Moss?
Yes.
Board Member Norton?
Yes.
Board Member Strait?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't track vote numbers. It was unanimous, but do we need to know the number? Okay, 10 in favor, and then we have a few board members missing.
Did you want to go back to Davis?
Oh, yeah. Board Member Davis?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be 11 in favor. Okay, let's move to the next item. All right.
Okay, Madam Chair, Mr. Chair, and board members, the couple things may be discussed first before we get into the financial report. The Public Ed Appropriations Committee addressed two items for us this morning. One was the audiology van, and another one was a pickup truck for our Salt Lake campus that we can put a snowplow blade on. We've been working with the Legislative Fiscal Analyst Office for about 9 months. We have to get state approval. We first have to get your approval to proceed. It's on the carry forward list to purchase the vehicles. Then we have to go to the legislature and get their approval, which state fleet requires before they go out and purchase the vehicles on our behalf. So this morning they addressed both the audiology van. If you know, remember, we were having one built right now. We just saw pictures. It actually is being built. And after the last 2 years, that's a miracle. And so this will be a second new audiology van that will be requested in May once the governor signs the bill. The other is the pickup truck. We're having to contract. We've got just a little golf cart that we put a plow on, but once a heavy snowstorm, it doesn't work for the Salt Lake campus. So we've had to contract that this year, and it's about $30,000 just for snow removal for this winter. So we can buy a truck for that amount and keep it for years. So it's a good use of money. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention that the PEA this morning did have that discussion. The financial report is for the 6 months that ended December 31st. All is well on our finances. We remain financially viable. We've got plenty of cash on hand to pay our bills. The revenues and inflows of cash for the 6 months totaled $25.9 million. Our expenses were $22.5 million. Giving us a surplus of $3.4 million. And that is just about the amount of the two extra pay periods. Each payroll every 2 weeks is about $1.5 million. And we get advanced that money by the state on monthly disbursement of our appropriations. So we're setting that money aside for future payroll. The number of students that we served as of the end of December were 339 on our campus. The students receiving services was 2,154, and total services being provided to students totaled 4,346.
You're looking at that call.
Oh, 5,221. Thank you, Dr. Danner. So you can see the growth in our students and services being provided since the first of the academic year. Our land grant enrichment fund balance totaled $564,000, and I'm just rounding again. Our donated funds, $303,000. And our education foundation balance is just about $1.1 million. The next two pages is the budget summary report that gives all the supporting detail of the numbers that we just reviewed on the financial report. The next report is the enrichment funds. And we have, of the $1,051,000 that was approved back last May, we spent $442,445, giving us a balance of $609,155 to spend before the end of the year. So, Madam Chair, that is my financial report. I'd be happy to answer any questions that any of you may have.
Okay, thank you. Do we have any questions online? Any hands up? Okay. And I don't see any in the boardroom either. So are you on to a next item? Are we on to, or back to you, Joel, our Superintendent Coleman?
Thank you. Our division report today is about the expanded core curriculum. We call that the ECC in the blind school. And we'll just let Superintendent Patton take it from here.
Well, good afternoon. I'm excited to show you a video of our expanded core curriculum. It's not a division, but more of a department. And remember, the expanded core curriculum are nine areas of curriculum in addition to the core curriculum that is needed for our blind, visually impaired, and deafblind students to know and to have concepts in so that they can be productive in their life. So with that, they do a great job in explaining it. There might be times during the video where they just say ECC, but they're referring to the expanded core curriculum when they are saying that.
My favorite, which is why I'm teaching this one, because it's all about the expanded core curriculum.
My name is Kathy Bingham. I am an expanded core educator here at the Utah School for the Blind, and I work primarily with students in outreach. So our sense of vision is like our primary means of taking in information for our environment around us. So if you have a vision impairment or if a student has a vision impairment, then they either won't be able to take that information in at all if they have no vision, or they may have fragmented parts because some vision impairments, maybe they can only see what's directly in front of them, but they can't see in the periphery, or they may possibly not be able to see directly in front of them, but they can only see what's in the periphery, or maybe they won't be able to see the details of what's around them. So they're getting a fragmented picture of their environment and their world around them. Think of everything in our world around us. And if I have a fragmented view of that, I need to be explicitly taught all of that.
My name is Becky Weeks, and I am the Expanded Core Curriculum Coordinator. So the Expanded Core is actually nine areas. And remember, it's a disability-specific curriculum. So they've taken these nine areas that have components. So there is access areas. And in the access areas, we have compensatory, sensory efficiency, and assistive technology, right? Those are your access skills. Then we go on to community readiness. And those areas are orientation and mobility, self-determination, and career education. You can see how those complement each other out in the community, right? And then the last group of three are the independent living skills areas, and they are recreation and leisure, independent living skills, and social interaction.
I have a program called Short-Term Program on Location, and it's designed for students that are 8 to 12. I hold them at five different areas across the state. So we meet in Logan, we meet in Ogden, we meet in Tooele, we meet in Salt Lake, and we meet in Springville. One of the great things about my job is I get to work with students and I get to teach them skills that the parents don't know that they have, and they don't know that they've learned that skill. So I can think of one student that was in my cooking class, and she had learned to use the George Foreman grill. She can cook hamburgers on it. She can heat it up, put it on, cook it, time it, take it off independently. And her mom happened to come. And I was so excited because I love, one of the best parts of my job is sharing what the students can do with parents. And I said, oh my goodness, you will not believe what Cammie can do. Cammie can cook meat on a George Foreman grill. And she's like, what? Really? So now she can be cooking at home with her family. Knowing leads to doing. So once we know something, then we can do it. However, as we do it, that can also lead to more knowing. And that's kind of a theme for us as we have evolved our programs here at USB.
The families themselves, the parents, they love to come together and be together to talk about things and share their experiences. I can think of one family that, you know, it's a successful activity in the summer when a family drives from St. George to Farmington to come to an activity that's a family activity for Utah Schools for the Blind so that they can be with other families and bring their child to be with other children who have visual impairments. And they make friends, and it's great now with all of the technology. People are keeping in touch.
So the social component is probably the biggest benefit our students get from the programs. Then we get icing on the cake because we get to learn all of these other skills as well. We get to learn our independent living skills, and we get to focus on very specific skills in our community. And I also need career education. The employment rate for individuals with vision impairment is only about 10 to 20%. So we need to work with our students to help give them those career education skills so they can go out and beat that statistic and be employed.
So as you can see, our educators and coordinator are very passionate about what they do. They are in charge of organizing and executing the expanded core curriculum activities. And those happen at least once a month and targeted different populations or different age groups. We're starting one next month, actually tomorrow. It's already February, so I've been saying next month, but it's already February, where it is we're doing kids from age 4 to 8. So we're getting those kids who are younger than age 8, and they're having their families come to the Discovery Museum, and we're going to be doing some science lessons there and different expanded core curriculum activities there, and that will be on a monthly basis. We then do another one called the Teen Escape, and that is primarily for teenagers, and they're involved in different activities that are again teaching those expanded core curriculum skills. Our goal at the School of the Blind, and when I say expanded core curriculum, this is a statewide program. This is not just for kids who are attending school on our campus or kids who are receiving services from USDB as far as a teacher of the visually impaired, an orientation mobility instructor, or a teacher of the deafblind. It doesn't matter what district they live in. It doesn't matter if they're in a charter school, a large school district. It is, we're wanting all students to participate, and we try very hard to make sure that we're publicizing that in a way that we get the maximize that. And if we have an activity where we have so many, then we have to make it adaptations and make sure that we're incorporating everything for those students to attend. It's a very successful program. It's an ever-evolving program, and it's just really exciting. It's one that if I had my choice for you to ever experience, it would be an expanded core curriculum activity. They are amazing. So I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, do we have any questions from any board members? Board Member Lear?
I just wondered how many individuals you usually get to those expanded activities.
You know, I can't answer that because it's so different with every activity, but I'm more than happy to send you some of the list of as far as the last year of how many we've had, because we do have We do have a record of that.
You estimate, but do you get between 20 and 60?
Yeah, or I would say about 30 students.
Students plus their some families.
Well, yeah, so that would be students. And but for our teen escape, those aren't parents. Parents don't come to our teen escape. But I would say we have between 20 and 30 students coming for our teen escape. For the family activities, we have more. We have more than that. So I would say we would have probably about 40 families that are coming to that. And it does, it also, and again, that's a guesstimate.
No,
so
I'm not holding you to it.
I really can send more information, but our educator, our Kathy Bingham, she was saying that we're moving those to location specific. And you'll notice we haven't had one in the St. George area. And that's the next piece is central Utah and southern Utah. We do have camps that we're doing in the summer, and those are also specific to different parts of the state. So we can make sure that people have access to that. Because it's a lot more for somebody in St. George to come up to an activity in Ogden. So anyway, we're doing our best.
Thanks for guessing. Or guesstimating.
Yeah.
I think it's a Board really Larry, great component.
We just got to be able to.
I think it's a really great component of your program.
And those are the numbers that I've seen. So the activities that I've been at.
Okay, thank you. Are there any hands online? No hands online. Okay. All right. And we'll turn the time back to Superintendent Coleman.
Thank you. Before I jump into my report, board members, I just feel compelled to say something about the expanded core curriculum. When
I first came to
hit it again.
No.
You're just like
that. Disrupt.
Yeah,
then we'll.
It came out.
Oh, it came out.
Thanks. Anyway, I was about to just bear my witness to the awesomeness of the expanded core curriculum. When I came to USDB, you know, there was so much that I was learning being a guy from the outside. But one of the things that I think you've probably heard me say this before, one of the things that struck me and that I come back to the longer I'm in this position is IDEA is like the perfect model for educating students. If we could do this type of thing with every student, and I keep seeing these parallels, it would just be a different system altogether. Obviously, that's not sustainable financially, but the ECC is a great example. You know, the portrait of a graduate you developed is based on the same principle as the expanded core curriculum, where we've got our academics, and that's what we measure, and that's what we evaluate everything in the system on, just about. But there's so much more to students that they need in this world, and it's not just the blind students. I wish we had an expanded core for general education students, and we kind of do now that you've put the portrait concept out there so that LEAs can start to think, what do they really need to be successful out in the world? The School for the Deaf has something similar, but it's not labeled the expanded core curriculum. And when each of the schools developed their own portrait, the deaf school and the blind school, it was a really enjoyable thing. And most of the blind school portrait of a graduate is centered around the expanded core curriculum. But anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you because every time I watch this, I think, well, blind kids aren't the only ones that need some social skills, right? And for what it's worth. Anyway, okay, so here's my superintendent report for today. It's not very much. First is just a legislative update, which you may already be aware of, but I'll put it on the record anyway. We went in front of the Public Ed Appropriations Committee last week on the 19th. Is that last week or the week before? On the 19th of January, we went in front of the Public Ed Appropriations Committee and gave them our annual report, went through those and talked about financial things. They had told us the night before they were the LFAs were going to recommend taking $5 million out of our bank account. After the public ed appropriations meeting, they decided to take $1 million, $1.5 million. We'll know this weekend probably the exact number. And that will not jeopardize any of our programs or current contracts or encumbered projects that are out there. So that's going to be okay. Another thing that I thought I would share with you, Mr. Empey already did that about the truck and the audiology van. So that's good news. That was just approved this morning. And We're still working with the HOK group that's here. They've had a second visit now with USTB coming to our state and going through to do the really the cultural and just every turning over every rock at USTB before they give a recommendation about facilities. And they will travel here at least once, maybe twice more. Probably two. Okay. And so that's going actually really, really well. There's an effect of having them there, interviewing everybody, parents, students, staff members. And it's been kind of nice in a way for people to be able to tell their story to a completely different independent third party. And it's helpful for us too. So we're glad that that's happening. That's all I had for today, other than we're just keeping our eyes on every single thing that happens up on the Hill. So Superintendent Tanner and Superintendent Patton, if you have anything else, this is probably a good time for you to share it with the board.
This is Superintendent Tanner. I have just a quick update. On February 25th through the 29th is when we have our USD, the School for the Deaf accreditation. This is where we have somebody who really understands deaf education. Individuals who we submitted a 165 page self-study document that included focus groups with parents, students, groups of staff members. We worked together to create complete the 12 different standards to say we're at and what are the things we're doing well, what things we thought we could improve upon. Then we have that validated when they come February 25th through 29th. They will want to meet with board members. So I will send that invitation out and I've asked them that it be on Zoom because I appreciate your time. So hopefully you guys can attend that when that invitation comes out. We really would love your feedback. And that's my update.
And I just have two things I just wanted to mention. You did receive all of the ongoings at the School for the Blind in the memo that you were emailed. But two things I wanted to make you aware of. That is happening. We are we're going to develop a committee of teachers of the visually impaired to help us with some professional development for next year and to plan that. And that has been a request of teachers of the visually impaired throughout the state. So we're taking some teachers from USDB and other district TBIs and developing that so that we can meet those needs. Also, we've sent a survey out to all teachers of the visually impaired to look at some of the enrichment activities, some of those expanded core activities that we have been doing. We'd like their input as well to make sure that we're meeting the needs of their students that they're seeing. They know those individual needs. So I wanted you to be aware of that because that has been two things that have been requested from some of our stakeholders. So I did that's all mine.
And that's the end of our superintendent report. Okay. We've just gotten done a half an hour early for you.
Well, sure, that'll be the rest of the day, right? I'm sure that set a precedence there. Thank you, Jill. We appreciate you coming, all of you, and the hard work you do for the kids in the state of Utah and their families. So thank you. And we'll excuse you guys unless there's anything else. I don't see any hands or anything.